on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Victoria Jacobson drops by to update us on all of the spring high school tournaments going on and share some honest feelings about the Rafael Devers trade. Then I'll have notes on the Pacers and the NBA Finals, the Fever, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette is with us to get started as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
A couple of our spring high school tournaments have carried on in the last week. Let's start with tennis, which wrapped up over the weekend with state finals. How did our local schools fare?
Well, the individual state tournament was this weekend. For those of you who need a little bit of a refresher, if your team is done in the team state finals, either because you got knocked out or in the case of Jasper, you won a state title. If your one doubles team or your one singles player has been undefeated through the state tournament to that point, you then move over to the individual state tournament bracket. So we had two doubles teams that made it to the state finals in this individual state tournament. So that was Adams Central's number one doubles team of Macy McClure and Alexa Brotherton. They fell to Columbus North in the quarterfinals Friday at the UND Tennis Center. Adams Central falls to Columbus North. They're out of the tournament. Meanwhile, Carroll's Riley Glassley and Chloe Teresa, they sailed through their quarterfinal match against South Knox. And so next they moved on to Columbus North. They also beat Columbus North in straight sets. So at that point, the Chargers were 25-0, hadn't dropped a set for the entire spring. Perfect season so far. Unfortunately, they ran into that doubles team from Jasper. Jasper had just won its first state title the previous weekend at North Central. As Carol was telling me, that is a team that just loves to be as aggressive as really any girls team in the state. And it ended up being a pretty one-sided affair. Jasper won 6-0, 6-2. So that was the end of what had been a perfect season for the Carroll Chargers. We've had several local teams make it to the double state finals over the years. I believe they're the third Carroll team to make it that far, but we still haven't had a doubles champion in that event. So we'll see. Riley is a junior. Chloe is a sophomore. They made it to the state quarterfinals last year. Who knows? Maybe they'll get to play together one more year.
Golf regionals also took place over the weekend, and a few of our schools advanced to the state finals.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an interesting day. Homestead, ranked number 3 in the state, sailed to first place with a team score of 291, won by 22 strokes. So we're going to need to do a little bit of a review of how this worked because it will become relevant. The way that high school golf works is that you have up to 5 golfers. You have to have at least 4, but up to 5. Your top 4 scores, or I should say low 4 scores, since this is golf, contribute to your team score. If there is a tie, your 5th score is the tiebreaker. Now, that is something that very much came into play on Thursday at Stonehenge, where the Warsaw Regional was held. So like I said, Homestead shot 291, regional champions for the second year in a row. That's the first time the Spartans have ever been back-to-back regional champs. Leo, Bishop Dwenger, Warsaw, all shot 313. So is a 3-way tie. Somebody gets second, somebody gets third, somebody is fourth, left out, doesn't get to continue the season. So then it goes down to your 5th score. Leo was in pretty good position because they knew that their 5th score was going to be Caden Mathias. He's plays in their number 1 position. That's usually where you put your strongest golfer. He shot an 83, and that was the worst score of any of the Lions last Thursday. That's not a bad 5th score to have. So they were pretty confident when they knew that they were going to be in the tie that that 83 should be able to get them through. And that is what happened. Bishop Dwenger's 5th score was Colin Lytle with an 86. That is good enough for 3rd. Warsaw, unfortunately, had a player disqualified. So they ended up losing out in the tiebreaker for 4th. So Warsaw doesn't get to go back to the state finals, which is pretty rough because, you know, they had a pretty strong season so far. In addition to those 3 teams going through, you also have the top 3 individuals who are going through without a team. That also came down to a tiebreaker. There were 2 locals, Gavin Hayflick of Blackhawk Christian, and then Carroll's Keenan Beattie. They both shot 72, so it went into a playoff for that final advancing position. Took two holes, but it turned out to be Gavin from Blackhawk Christian. He goes through for the second year in a row. He made it last year as a freshman. Didn't have a great 2 days down in Carmel, so he's really excited to get another chance to go back with a little bit more experience and see what he can do as a sophomore.
The baseball and softball tournaments have continued on over the last few weeks as well, but for us, there's not too much to talk about there right now.
Yes, so we did not have any teams make the softball state finals, which were held last weekend at Purdue. And then we also didn't have any teams win semi-state championships in baseball this past weekend. So Snyder, they'd had their most successful season in 15 years. They went completely undefeated through their SAC season, but their season came to an end last Saturday in South Bend with a 7-0 loss to Class 4A number 8 Valparaiso. The Vikings and their star pitcher, Caden Crowell, no-hit the Panthers. And so that is the end of the road. And then in 3A, Norwell lost to Northwood 3-1. Had a chance there at the end of the game to maybe tie things up, but didn't work out for the Knights. So that is the end of the road in 3A. And then in Class A, Clinton Prairie beat Canterbury 17-5 in 6 innings. So it was the 10-run rule. If you're up by 10 runs or more in the 5th inning or after, the game ends early. So that is what happened to Canterbury in the Class A semi-state semifinals. So that is the end of our baseball season here in Northeast Indiana. It has now been since 2013, that when Norwell last won a state title, that a Northeast Indiana team has won a baseball championship.
So things are a little quieter on the diamond in Northeast Indiana, but not at the national level. You are the Red Sox fan in this conversation, so I just have to say I'm really sorry about the news of the Rafael Devers trade this week.
I appreciate you thinking about me in this time. My husband texted me something that I did not immediately understand. I was thinking, like, what are you talking about? The Red Sox beat the Yankees today. It was a sweep of the Yankees. No, it turns out he was referring to a trade I hadn't heard about yet. I am just at a loss. The tension seems to come from the fact that the Red Sox wanted Rafael Devers to play first. And I understand you want players to be team players. You're paying them a lot of money. You want some flexibility. But this is the second time they had asked him to change positions in, what, 3-4 months? This is not the first time that they have run a homegrown player out of town, seemingly for no reason. And this one is just so hard to fathom because it is clear that they want to make a point more so than to make the team better. And if your accusation against Devers is that he was more concerned about himself than doing what is right for the team by maybe not making a sacrifice, maybe being willing to make a mistake or two at first base, a position that he's not particularly familiar with. Maybe he needs to swallow his pride a little bit and do what's best for the team, even if it's not easy or fun. Okay, well, frankly, I think the front office needs to do the same thing sometimes. You need to take the medicine. There has been some speculation that Devers told them, hey, the fact that you don't have a first baseman, now that we've had some injuries there, you need to do your jobs and find a first baseman. Yeah, I guess you could call that insubordinate. But at the same time, that's what all of us are saying in our living rooms. That's what commentators across the country are saying. If you are mad at him for saying that, well, maybe you need to look in the mirror and ask yourselves, why can't we find another first baseman? When you're asking players to make sacrifices like this, you have to give them a reason to trust you, to trust that you have the best interests of the team at heart. And I don't think that the front office has given any indication that they deserve that trust.
Yeah, I think the Giants overwhelmingly won that trade as well. Not every day you get to add a guy with a 905 OPS to your lineup, especially at this time of the year. So sorry for the loss. And me, my biggest complaint is I think the Cubs could have matched that offer or done even better. Victoria Jacobson, covering the wide range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, a lot can change in a week, and the Pacers are not where you want to be in the NBA Finals. It's do or die at this point. They're down 3-2 in the series, and Tyrese Halliburton isn't feeling 100%. It's not great. But adversity has been the name of the game for these Pacers. They get their first shot at extending the series at home tonight, with tip-off set for 8:30. If they win and extend this series to a seventh game, that will be Sunday night at 8 in Oklahoma City. ESPN heard the criticism about their finals presentation this year being generic and boring, which I believe is correct, so we should get to see the Pacers lineup announcement before the game, which I always love to watch. Caitlin Clark is back, and so are the Indiana Fever. They handed Stewie and the defending champion New York Liberty their first loss of the season on Saturday, and followed that up with an 88-71 win over Connecticut. Number 22 dropped 52 points between both games. Sophie Cunningham is becoming a controversial figure on the floor and was part of a scuffle in that game against the Sun. I always gravitate towards the players that stir the pot and make opposing players and fans mad, so she's becoming a personal favorite of mine. What can I say? I grew up watching Dennis Rodman. They're in Golden State tonight, that's at 10 on Amazon. You can watch them and the Pacers at once, bail out on the Pacers and tune into the Fever if it's not going well, see the Pacers game through and then switch over in the second half. Tonight is a great opportunity to celebrate both of our great pro teams. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps have slipped a little bit. They were nearly swept by the last place South Bend Cubs last week before pulling out a 5-4 victory in the final game of the set on Sunday. They are now second to last in the Eastern Division, but are a long way from the bottom. Honestly, they're only 4 games under 500, a couple good weeks and they're right back in second place. They return home next week to square off against the Great Lakes Loons, then have a short series against the Lansing Lugnuts. There is no 4th of July game at Parkview Field this season. And Fort Wayne FC looks to stay hot with 2 games in the coming week. They'll host West Virginia at Bishop Darcy Stadium Saturday at 7, then head to Ohio to face Kingshammer Columbus FC next Wednesday, also at 7. That will be the 3rd matchup between those squads this year. Fort Wayne won the first 2. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.